John, the 17th chapter, includes an account of Jesus' prayer for believers and the church age. In fact, he deliberately connects God's will with Jesus' earthly ministry and its eternal consequences for Christians. Let's join Associate Pastor Michael McGilley as he continues with part 5 of the series on evangelism entitled Evangelism, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
For this moment, this opportunity that has been fasted over and prayed, just ask, Father God, right now that the anointing, Father God, be applied. And Father God, that some soul, Father God, may come crying what they must do to be saved. I'm asking this in Jesus' name, that you would use me right now. In Jesus' name. Church, say amen with me. Amen. Amen. Seated in majesty. You are the risen King. Pastor asked me to finish up on evangelism. Amen. And out of obedience, I'm saying okay. Amen. It's too late to say no right now. Right? Amen. My thought from this particular lesson this week, today. Amen. You heard the song by Stevie Wonder. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. I'm not coming from his lyrics. But I just want to use that particular part right there. It seems like there's a lot of songs like that that have that titles that for messages and this and that, you know. But I thought that was a real good one right there, those three words right there. The thought, evangelism, signed, sealed, and delivered. We're looking at John, the 17th chapter, and we're coming out of the New King James. Amen. And just to recap this, at this particular time in the 17th chapter, we look at this as being Jesus' high priestly prayer. Amen. Or the Lord's Prayer, if you will. Amen. The thought, amen, evangelism, signed, sealed, and delivered. In studying this particular passage, my brothers and sisters, out of the book of John, just to mention, introducing him, amen, you know, he wrote 5 books. This gospel, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote Revelations as well. Amen. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. We find that he was of the inner circle. His brother's name was, he was one of the sons of Zebedee. His brother's name was James. He was a cousin of Jesus Christ. Amen. And there were some other accolades about him. Amen. Well, I did say beloved disciple. He was always in the bosom of Jesus, and Peter had a problem with that. At the end, after Jesus was resurrected, when Jesus told told Peter, they'll go and feed his sheep, and Peter said, well, what about him? And this is where we get in trouble. Sometimes we worry about other people. But Jesus said, you do what I tell you to do. And don't worry about that. Don't be a busybody. But in studying this particular passage, amen, it's broken down into 3 categories. We find that it's talking about in the first 5 verses, Jesus's high priestly prayer in regards to himself going back to receiving his glory. It was From the 6th verse to the 19th verse, amen, he's talking about, he's interceding for his disciples. And here in our text, 20th verse to the 26th verse, he's talking about the church age today. Amen. So in the first 5 verses, Jesus is praying for himself. Dr. R.A. Torrey says, praying for oneself is not a selfish prayer. For the servant of God has every right to ask his Father for help needed to glorify his name. Is that selfish? I don't think it is. For say, the hour has come. Amen. I want to read those first 5 verses for you. Amen. Usually I would ask that you would follow along with me if I were to give you the, say, look at the first 5 verses and I'm going to go from there. But I want to do something different. Jesus spoke these words. This is verse 1. And lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this, Jesus said, is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work you have given me to do. Amen. As you have given me power. Pastor talked last week that God had given him all authority in heaven and in earth. We see this power right here. But to go back into some of the background, we got to go a little bit further back to maybe about the 13th chapter where, amen, we can say that this is after the Lord's Supper where he had washed the disciples' feet in the 14th chapter. It was a lot that was taking place before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane where he did pray his high priestly prayer. Amen. He had instituted the Lord's Supper and he had did all of this Jesus did. Amen. And he said he wanted to give life to as many that are who are calling and believing on your name. He said, my hour has come. My hour. He said that in the 12th chapter as well, that his hour. See, before nobody could, he said, lay hands on him to throw him off the cliff. Nobody could lay hands on him to do him any kind of harm. Why? Because he said, my hour has not come. Even at Cana of Galilee, when he first turned water into wine, his mother even asked him, said, you know what to do? And he said, hey, my hour is not at hand. Amen. And he wasn't disrespectful, but he said, woman. Amen. But he wanted to give it eternal life to as many as he could who are called to believe on his name. He said, I have finished my assignment of redemption. So you, Father, may be all in all. Everything that Jesus did, casting out demons, everything that he did to give an understanding of who he is to his disciples, everything that he did in rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees, everything that he did from day one, amen, telling Satan what is written in the 4th chapter. Amen. Even when he was 12, everything that Jesus did, amen, he confounded, amen, the religious leaders. And even telling his mom back then, because she said, well, where are you? We had us worried. He said, I was about my what?
Father's business.
Everything that Jesus, he said, I have finished my assignment of redemption. So you, Father, may be all, 1 Corinthians 15:20, all in all. Amen. Though he gave him all authority in heaven and earth, Jesus is taking all that authority and putting it back at the Father's feet because he wanted to glorify the Father. Amen. In glory. Here in verses 16 through 19, he's praying for the disciples. And amen. Amen. But I don't want to go there just yet. But the rest of this particular passage of 1 through 5, He said that I have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And now, O Father God, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. In his pre-incarnate state, amen, Jesus was invisible, just like the Father, just like God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He appeared, Jesus Christ did, in theophanies. Amen. Meaning that, amen, it was like the burning bush. It was like the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night. That was the pre-incarnate Christ. Amen. We find him, amen, in the one like the Son of Man in Daniel, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. This is Jesus. We look at Jesus, amen, in regards to being the architect of this universe. Amen. The triune God, he had created everything, and Jesus was involved. Amen. This Jesus. And God says, amen, that he wanted to redeem his masterpiece of a creation, which is mankind. And how was he going to do it? Jesus, I'll go. So mankind, he said in Romans 3:23, the wages of, he said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 6:23 said that the wages of those sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life by who? Christ Jesus. So he died. He redeemed. He's our redeemer. Amen. So he brought about redemption. He said, Father God, glorify me with the glory I had. So when we look at the 16th chapter, amen. Well, not only that, just a little bit more. In Galatians 4:4, he said that a man born in, he said, he did, well, he said, how did that verse go? Yeah, in the fullness of time, thank you, Pastor, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This is how he came. He said, and the word became flesh, John 1:14. Amen. This same Jesus, he did everything that the Father wanted. And this was his assignment, and he did it all. So here in 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples. But I want to look at verse 6 through 10. Now, what I would want you to do is not that, for time's sake, amen, I don't want to read the scriptures, but I'm looking at 6 through 10 of the 17th chapter. Follow along with me. He said he had manifested or revealed God's name to men. Speaking of the apostles, for they were chosen regardless of their shortcomings. Don't you and I have shortcomings? Amen. I'm a sinner just like you are. Amen. They enjoyed the full love, these disciples of the Father and the Son, in that they obeyed God's word. For the men of God gave Jesus, amen, and God knew it. The men of God that God gave Jesus, what is that saying? That's saying that God foreknew them. He had to, amen, because they didn't exist. Jesus is the one who, when you know, he went around and chose the 12. He said, God gave these brethren to me. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Amen. Is that not saying something about us? Did God foreknew us before the foundation? We find that in what? Ephesians, the first chapter as well. So in John 6:39-40, Jesus said, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, amen, this is confirmation or referencing what I just said. The Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing. But he shall raise them up in the last day. Amen. To qualify that verse, the very next verse, verse 40. Amen. Everyone who sees the Son, amen, and believes in him has everlasting life and will be raised up in the last day. What a blessed assurance. Amen. You know, this is one particular passage right here you can take to a lot of people who don't believe in what? Eternal security. We see in verse 9 and 10, Jesus prayed for his disciples, but not for the world. It is not that we should not pray for the world, right? Jesus prayed for his enemies, did he not? How did he do that? When Jesus went to the cross in Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 34th verse, he said to the Father, Father, what? Forgive them. For what? And he was talking about only Jews, right? No, he was talking about who was the one that was crucifying him? The Romans, Gentiles, right? So he was talking about all of those that was instrumental in his crucifixion, which really was all mankind. However, in this particular context of Jesus' high priestly prayer, he is praying as one who is represented, who represented believers from the throne of God. There is prayers that can only be for his own. It's inappropriate for the world. Amen? You understand what I'm just saying? Amen. I can pray for the lost souls out there. But this particular context where we are right now in his high priestly prayer, it didn't apply to them. Amen. Verses 9, 11 through 19. I'm not going to read verses 11 to 19. Amen. Jesus will soon be leave behind the see, what I'm reading to you and everything right now or going over is still background. What, elder? You're not in the text yet? No, I'm not. Give me a chance. I will be there. Jesus soon, he said, Jesus was who? Amen. Leave behind the accumulated anger and rebellion of his enemies. All those insults and all of that that was going on. All those rocks that were picked up to throw at him, but they couldn't do it because his hour was at hand. Amen. But in a matter of hours, he is going to be crucified. Why is that? Because this is Passover. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where Judas Iscariot came, amen, with the soldiers to arrest Jesus. Amen. In a matter of hours, he was going to be going through a kangaroo court. Amen. Of the apostles, of the religious leaders. And Pilate. And then brought back and all that kangaroo courts all over the place to try to convict Jesus, who was innocent of sin or any wrongdoings. His disciples would be exposed to all of this. Amen. They would be left behind to this hostile environment. So out of his best interests, amen, amen, Jesus said to the Father, keep them, Lord. Sanctify them, Lord, by the power of your name. Amen. While he was with them, he washed their feet, didn't he? Amen. In the upper room, he was showing that they should minister to one another. That's why he did it. It wasn't that because your feet is dirty and they stinky and everything and he wanted to wash them. Well, I didn't get no laugh out of that one. Even confident Peter will see the need for one another. Amen. You know, Peter was talking about, Lord, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, man, in a sense, I'm going to pray first just a little bit. Man, you don't need no bath, man. Amen. You know, then this was the custom. Amen. Only your feet. Every time they go in somebody's house, they always had a bowl. They had to wash your feet when you come into the house and everything. You didn't need no bath. And I don't know where Peter was. He just, sometimes he was just out there, you know. And Jesus always tried to bring reeling back in, you know. Amen. So even him, Peter, in his confidence, amen, he would see the need that he needed the rest of his brethren right there. Except for who? Jesus, Judas Iscariot, titled the son of perdition, meaning son of what? Destruction, who would never be one of Jesus' own, who betrayed him, right? But how many pieces of silver? 30. Jesus said it would be better if he had not been born. I can't imagine that one. Amen. And living, Jesus never intended for the believers to keep, amen, themselves apart from sinners. He never did. For he mingled with them himself. Amen. He mingled with the publicans. He mingled with sinners. Amen. And the religious people had a problem with coming to the disciples. Your master, amen, he mingles with sinners as if they wasn't a sinner. You know, they were still blind, leading the blind type of people. Verse 17 and 19 are very important verses, my brothers and sisters. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. To sanctify means to set what? apart for special use. Spiritually, the term implies separated or separate from the standards and the desires of the world and unto the mind of God. Why would that be so important for the men and women of God? Sometimes we get ourselves, own selves, into pickles. I'm telling you, man, that dude on the inside of you, he can cause you to go very, very wild. Jesus sanctified us positionally by saving us in heaven. And there ain't nothing you can do about that. Okay, nothing separates you from the love of God. Now, but he has asked you and me to sanctify ourselves progressively while we're down here on this earth. Amen. And with these eyeballs right here, and I know some of us got 20/20 vision, but you still can see spiritually is what he's trying to say. Shut it down. Leave it alone. All these vices in Galatians and Romans, shut it down. And don't do these things. Don't be whoremongers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, he only said one. I'm saying the et cetera. And Elder Williamson, I love what he just did right there. I said, and the et cetera, and Elder Williamson said, I know y'all heard him say that before. I know y'all heard him say that before. See, one has to immerse himself, right, in the scriptures to be drawn away from the world. David said, I hide what? The word in my heart that I may not sin against you. See, one must be focused on the divine truth. And the only way that you can get that is through the word of God. Amen. It ain't just for me up here to study to show myself approved. All of us as believers, we share this. Amen? Amen. Amen. We must be focused. The sanctified Christian is sent to reveal Christ through life and word. Sanctification doesn't mean total physical separation from the world. It is Christ-like. Why is that? It's because I got to go out and tell somebody about who? Jesus. So if I keep, well, I can't be around them. I got to sanctify myself. So is it a personal thing? No. I got to go out here and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. So I got to get out here and get, if you want to call it dirty, but I got to go to them and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. But I'm not going to go in nobody's club or nobody's bar or nobody's cabaret or nobody's basement party where they're drinking and stinking up the place with weed and smoke and all this other kind of stuff to do it. Amen. But I'm going door to door. Amen. Two by two. Get ready, baby. Two by two. Amen. You know what? I want to say this right now. Procrastination ain't going to get me anywhere. Amen. I've been saying, man, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Because, you know, I know it's not just for me. I got saved and everything. And can not a soul on the face of the earth tell me I'm not going to heaven. But I can say, well, you can't judge nobody. Well, yes, I can. I can judge somebody. I can judge them by some of the things that they do, the lifestyles and this and that. I ain't talking about Christians, but if you show me some fruit that's like that, then my eyebrow is going to go like this. You know? And when it goes like that, that means that it's like you're, in my mind, suspect. So I'm just saying and telling you. I want to tell somebody, and I want to do that. And I'm going to do that. Well, Ella Max, stop procrastinating when you're going to do it. I'm going to do it when I go to the prison next week. Amen, Elder Jules. Amen, Sister Rector. You know, I want to do it more, in other words. In other words, I got a whole heap of family here, but I'm going back into the message. It's not a personal thing, sanctification. It's not just for me. Sanctification doesn't mean total physical separation from the world. It's like Christ is the Christ-like when we do it, personality. As one witnesses into the stream of life. All areas, all gambits of life. Verse 20 and of our text. Oh, he's there. The text briefly, Jesus said, here in the high priestly prayer after praying for the 11, their lives of, just follow along with me, from 20 to 21 right now. Jesus here is interceding for the church of the future, that they may believe me through their words, the apostles, their words, talking about the apostles, the written, their scriptures, all the epistles that they had written, right? And preaching that they had done. That they are one. Jesus prayed for the latter converts. Amen. Who are they? That's me and you. That we may be one. He asked not for a union of all single institutions, but for a unity of purpose. Amen. Produced by a common relationship. Okay? Unity is the burden of Jesus' prayer here, saints. Jesus likened unity between the Father and himself. One writer said the disciples had often exhibited spiritual selfishness. Amen. They were competing against each other. And they had a lot of disunity going on. And somebody said it must have broken the Savior's heart when he saw that, all of that going on. How would he feel today? How would he feel today? Think about it. Amen. Evangelistically, unity would be, first of all, the sign. Remember the thought? Sign, see it? That the world may believe the oneness. Who? The world may believe the oneness of God and Jesus. And who? The believer, you and me. That you, Father God, have sent me. For Jesus said in John 14, chapter, verse 12, that B part, greater works than these that you would do. Amen. Greater works. He's going off the scene now. Jesus is getting ready to, amen, to die for the sins of the world. He's going off the scene. We know Hebrews, the fourth chapter, said we have a great high priest. And I'm going to probably end up reading that. Maybe not, but I'm going to say read the fourth chapter of Hebrews in regards to Jesus' place as in glory as high priest. So he said, greater works than these you would do for my Father. Another writer said, doctrinal purity. Doctrinal purity, listen to me, is also essential, right? For people must know what to believe and whom to trust. It's like they say, who will believe the message? If the messenger don't speak. If they don't speak with what? One voice. Or act in one spirit. Who gonna believe the messenger if he's not like that? Look at verses 22 and 23. Jesus said, he gave his glory that we would experience it further when we get to heaven. True believers have God's glory within. Evangelistically, the seal. So we already got the sign, right? Now we got the seal of who? The Holy Spirit. Because he said, if you love me, right? Keep my what? And I will give you another comforter who will be with you and in you. Another writer's profound words, amen, I'm going to give you three of them, said Christian harmony is not based on externals of the flesh, but on internals and eternals, right, of the spirit within. If 1 Corinthians 6:19, which is the says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Having the Spirit needing to have the privilege, amen, if you got the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 and 9 says, if you don't have him, you ain't none of his. Amen. The spirit need to have the privilege to go to any part of this body on the inside. Amen. You can't take an x-ray, right, and see the spirit. Why? God said he's spirit, and they that worship him worships him in spirit and in truth. Why would I say God? Well, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. God is a spirit. Only person that you're going to see when we get into glory is Jesus, because he became man, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father in glory. Right now, his high priestly prayer interceding for us, this is what he's doing literally now. But he was looking at the future tense when he was saying this whole passage right here as the high priest. So the Holy Spirit has a right to go into any part of his temple that he wants to. He can go into his heart. He can go into a mind. Just like you go into your own house. If you buying it, you go in the basement, you go in the attic, you go in any room, bathroom, wherever, in your house. Well, this is, you're not your own anymore, right? Didn't the scripture say that? You was bought with a price, right? You're not your own. Amen. So the Holy Spirit has a right to go to any part in your body. Matthew 5:16 said, let your light shine. Amen. That's glory, right? Amen. That same light, it might not be the Shekinah glory, but if you are walking, talking the talk, amen, as a Christian, this is who you are, sanctified, you're going to let your light shine. You're going to let your light shine. Ain't nobody got to tell you to do it. Amen. So Jesus sums up. All of this shows the glory, amen, within the individual believer. Jesus sums up the results of the true unity by saying, I in them and thou in me. What this means is that the believer is made perfect, amen, or complete in one. Brethren can enjoy full unity among themselves because they share a larger unity, amen, of the Father and the Son. It's a unity thing. It's a oneness thing. With God and the Father, me and you. It's a oneness type of thing. In this world, they would know that the Father sent the Son and that he is all that he said he would be. The world would know that when we go out and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. And as a result, the unbeliever will be drawn, amen, to this particular love that he sees in you and me, the oneness of God the Father and God the Son. With the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they see that, John 6:44, Jesus said, they can't come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws them. They'll be drawn to this particular love that we have, this love that we are trying to share with the world, right? So in conclusion, clap your hands. Oh, y'all wrong. In conclusions, and I'm going to probably tap on verse 25 and 26, but verse 24 primarily. Jesus made one more request for his own, that they also, meaning the apostles and the church back then, the church, and even now, right, would enjoy being delivered to where he is. Delivered, signed, sealed, and delivered, right? To where he is in heaven. For the Father always answers what? His Son's prayers. Father God, I want him to be with me, Jesus said. Don't you know he's going to do that? Do you have faith enough to believe it? The world has many opportunities to get to know the God, but prefers darkness rather than light. For what? John 3:18, their deeds are evil. They ain't going to come into it. We got to bring the light to them. Amen. However, it is a relentless truth, right? That truth keeps marching on. Truth keeps marching on. I'm a soldier. Amen. Amen. There's no excuse. Amen. Saints, if God so loved the world, What's your excuse? There's a reckoning that's going to be going on right now at the judgment seat of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. But don't let it be said too late, my brothers and sisters, right? That I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. So what we talked about evangelistically, God signed it that the world may believe the unity, right, of the oneness of God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the believer. Unity. Amen. He sent Jesus. Amen. Believe it, because he sent Jesus to do that. He sealed the believer. Amen. So he, delivered. He can deliver, be delivered to where he is. Absent from the body is where? Is that for the unbeliever? Absent from the body for the unbelievers is the great white throne judgment. Now, can you say, I won't? Amen. Can you say, I want to be yours? Amen. Or not? Do you want to be as you stand with me? Do you want to be one in unity with the Father? Amen. Amen. And if you do, amen, I'm not asking the question of sinning, because if you do, that's what's going to, at simultaneously, as soon as a person believes that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died, and rose again, at that point of belief, the scripture says, Ephesians 1, 13, and 14, thou shalt be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Some folks rather have houses, you know that, don't you, and land.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.